do something about it. We thought that it might be a good idea to give insulin by continuous subcutaneous infusion. And I, on a lady whom I shall always remember and respect, Mrs. Winifred Vincent, let her name go down in history, was the first one to be given insulin by continuous subcutaneous infusion, the insulin pump. And she was a lady in the ward. She was going blind with her diabetes and was very poorly controlled, and I asked her whether I could try this. I told her I'd watch her like a hawk and make sure that she came to no trouble at all. But what I wanted to do, instead of giving her injections, was to put this little tube under her skin and run the insulin in continuously. And I did that using an old Harvard syringe driver. And to my absolute amazement, her blood glucose came down almost to, virtually to normal, and stayed there for the whole day. It was really a moment of revelation to me. The next thing, of course, was to find a small syringe driver that one could that the patient could walk around with, that was portable. And it just so happened that I was going to a research meeting that evening, and I shared the back of a cab with George Alberti. And I said, do you know anybody who's got a little pump? And he said, well, there's this chap, John Parsons, who's working at Mill Hill in the Institute of Medical Research, and he's actually giving fragments of another hormone to rats. And I know he's got a little pump because it sits on top of the cage and feeds down to the rat through a tube. I said, it sounds like one for me. And I went to see him next day, and he actually happened to have one in his home, which he lent me, and sort of the rest is history. I was joined by John Pickup, who, of course, made the pump his very own very special area of interest and development. And off we went. What we were able to do then was to show that using this technique, we were able to get remarkably good levels of control of diabetes. And we are now into the 1970s, and multiple dose injection, multiple dose of insulin, was claiming to improve control. And it became clear that with blood glucose measurement, we were now able to achieve much better levels of control. So John Pickup and I wrote a grant application to the National Institutes of Health, my old alma mater, as it were, asking for some money to run a big study where we randomised patients between using pumps and ordinary conventional treatment. Now, we had to randomise them because, you know, as soon as you take an interest in people, their diabetes improves anyway, whether you do anything or not. If you're interested in their diabetes, they become more interested in their diabetes, quite reasonably, and things improve. So one had to set this up in a reasonably scientific sort of way. And there was a long delay, and then we discovered that that was because National Institutes of Health were considering their own big study, which turned out to be the Diabetes Control and Complications Trial, DCCT, which has been a real landmark in diabetes care. And I was fortunate enough to be asked, actually I was invited to run that, but for various reasons decided I wasn't going to up tracks and move to the United States at that time, and was on the ethical committee of that study for 10 years, and fascinating it was. But it did demonstrate that finally Ardy Lawrence and E.P. Joslin had been absolutely right, that if you do control diabetes tightly, you will greatly reduce the risk of the development of certainly the eye, the kidney, and the nerve complications. At last, something that we'd always suspected, we now knew for sure. And that was terribly important, and it was because of the efforts of a whole lot of patients who saw the importance of asking this and answering this question that we got the answers.